What if I tell you that having a baby could be easy? How can you have your beautiful, positive, unmedicated, and natural birth so that you can step into your conscious motherhood? Hello, my name is Bibi. I am a midwife, a birth coach, and I am an early motherhood coach. And I'm here to show you how birth can be easy. You know why? You're never going to forget that day, and you want it to be the best day of your life. Tune in while we'll dive in on how you can have your positive birth and you can have a positive motherhood. Happy listening. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this beautiful episode of Your Holistic Midwife. It's always me, Bibi, your holistic midwife. And today I am joined by a special guest, Elsie. Okay, Elsie, just introduce yourself in case all our listeners, they don't know you.
Hi, I'm Elsie. I'm a home birth mom of two little boys. I'm a mental health nurse. I live in Melbourne. I have a great husband, Koen, from the Netherlands. I'm doing like a lot of work with Home Birth Victoria at the moment, a lot of advocacy. And I'm the host of Birthing at Home, a podcast, which I started earlier this year in 2020.
Yeah. And that's exactly how we met, because you invited me to be part of the beautiful podcast, Birthing at Home. And I just want to ask you, how did this podcast, how was born this podcast?
Yeah, of course. So when I was pregnant, especially with my, or before I was even pregnant with my second baby, I listened to a lot of podcasts, a lot of amazing, there's so many amazing podcasts out there. And there's also a couple of podcasts that are extremely popular that tell birth stories. But I actually found them very triggering. Because there was
I agree.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it there.
Yeah. And so I just thought, you know, I want to hear like successful home birth stories. I want to hear successful free birth stories. I want to hear how women overcame things and they had these amazing, often healing, very empowering experiences. That's what I want to hear. You know, there are some amazing podcasts out there that tell like a broad range of birth stories. And like, there's, you know, you got to search for the specific home birth ones. And like, sometimes that was okay. But I was just like, why is there not just like one podcast that I can go to? Now there is obviously a couple of podcasts that tell home birth and whatnot stories in Australia. But when I was looking, there was not. And so my second son, Frankie, was born in June. And I had such an amazing experience. And I, you know, when I had my first baby, I tried to reach out to a podcast and be like, hey, I'm a first time mom. I had a 4.5 kilo baby at home. Can I be on your podcast? And I was told, like in one sentence, I think maybe there was an emoji or something. And it was kind of like, there's like 600 people in front of you. And I was like, oh, okay. So So I never got to share like my first birth story. And then so when I had Frankie in June, I was like, I really want to share my story. And then I was like, well, you know, I don't really align with any of these podcasts. This one's told me to basically bugger off 3 years ago, so I'm not going to approach them again. And I was like, well, I'll start my own podcast.
That was a great idea, actually.
And at first I was really nervous, and I had an amazing student midwife with my pregnancy and birth with Frankie. And she was really supportive and encouraging of me to do it. And she was like, oh, like, you know, because at this point I knew like women that had home birthed, like I guess on the internet, but like I didn't have like a community, like a tight community that I could be like, hey, you want to share your birth story? So she like volunteered as tribute. And so my first episode is with Chantel, and Chantel was my student midwife, and I made the Instagram.
So cool.
And then through Instagram, like I have so many stories now.
It's true. You've got so lots of many stories. How many stories do you have roughly now? Do you know?
I have like 15, I think, women's stories uploaded. I also then started like a little offshoot series about partners telling their version or how, because a lot of the time, like partners have a bit of hesitancy, and I've heard women say like they didn't want me to do it, and you know.
That is so cool. I have to invite my husband.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll come. That would be excellent.
The best.
And so I have three or four of those, but I have like another like eight or nine recorded. So and I've already like booked things for January, and it's just it's like gotten a lot more traction than I thought maybe it would.
Yeah, the community is growing, and people really want to share now, because like for me and for a lot of people that they had home birth, they found the courage by storytelling, you know. Like me, the first time that I heard a twin home birth was actually through a podcast, and I was like, what? Hang on a minute. And I listened to it again, and I was like, whoa, she's just saying that she had home birth with the twins. And if it was not for that podcast, there was no way I would have known, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, once upon a time, I imagine women would have been sharing these stories.
Yeah, in the circles.
In a circle, you know?
And that's what I'm launching next year, actually. I'm launching circles because
that's so cool.
Yeah, we need to start sharing this between women, because I feel like the society is so disconnected. And of course, with COVID as well, we have been even more disconnected. So it's time for women to actually, gather together again, really.
And share knowledge, because birth should be a physiological process, and you hear so many birth stories, and like some of them are kind of similar, but there's always variations, you know. And if you don't know about you don't know what you don't know, and through storytelling you can gather that information, gather that confidence, and it's like, if she's doing it, why can't I do it?
That is exactly right. And that is exactly how I felt. I'm like, if she can birth twins, why can't I birth twins?
Exactly. And like in the last little bit of my pregnancy with Frankie, I had prolonged rupture of membranes or whatever, and I was looking for stories, because hospitals aren't like, promoting.
No way. Like 24 hours, you're like, hey. Like, getting an induction where you had 2 days and a half. So, like, I can't wait to actually put your story out as well, because it's not often that you actually hear of someone, you know, like you were just like, the baby was actually born, like, you know, just a few hours after, before the 72 hours mark. That's really great to
But like I was, you know, after I had like primarily read the stories, but I listened to so many as well, obviously. After I'd read, you know, that women had waited like 5 days, and there's risk, sure, whatever you classify as risk, sure, there's something that happens, okay, chance, incidents, whatever, but I was willing to take all of that, you know. And I read that, you know, some women like were waiting like all these days, and I was like, well, that's what I want to do. And if I hadn't have come across these stories, maybe I would have, you know, gone to hospital, I don't know, whatever. So I just really believe in the power of storytelling, and I have so many amazing stories. I learn so much every time I listen to a story. So like, you know. So that's how Birthing at Home, a podcast, was born.
Yeah, that is so, so good. And you were telling me also that now you've been a little bit more involved into the birthing space. Are you going to do like the doula training or something like that? Or you mean like more like advocacy? What are your plans? Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah, so I've set up Home Birth Victoria. So it occurred to me a couple of months ago. So unlike Home Birth, like unlike Queensland, New South Wales, and I guess broader Australia, there's no group for Victoria. There's nothing, been attempts. So I've set it up. So there's now, in December, there's like 250 people in the Home Birth Victoria group.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, it's actually really great, especially because we're, it's not something I would personally choose to do, but obviously publicly funded home birth makes home birth more accessible. And so with all of that being set up, like, you know, I'm contacting them, being like, hi, you've been given all this funding, what's happening? Because nobody else was doing that, you know, like they're just like left to their own devices, I guess. Even on like Safer Care Victoria website and like contacting them, even on the Department of Health, nobody has no fucking idea what is happening with home birth. Yeah. So
do you have is it a website or a Facebook?
Just group? A Facebook group at Facebook the moment. Group.
Yeah.
Hopefully, so Home Birth Queensland, Home Birth New South Wales, and Home Birth Australia all have websites.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I hope that we'll be able to get a website, but everything obviously costs money. So it'd be such an awesome resource. And also I've started like monthly meetups. So we've had two meetups and it's just like, about community as well.
That is so good. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. So you've been in contact with the home birth, publicly funded. Is the first one in Victoria? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so there's already been one in Sunshine, which is in the like western suburbs, and it's been whatever you class as successful for about 10 years, I think, like a long, that's what they say in anyway.
In Victoria.
Oh,
so when you say Sunshine, you mean in Victoria? I'll say Sunshine Coast.
No.
Victoria. Because we mean Sunshine Coast, yeah. Sunshine.
So Sunshine is a suburb in the western suburbs of Melbourne.
Okay, gotcha. Now I follow you.
And there was one in the eastern suburbs, but it mysteriously stopped during COVID. It's still on all the websites that it's operating, but I've found out and confirmed it's not. There's going to be one in Geelong starting next month. The Royal Women's is going to be starting one. And there's going to be one at Mercy Heidelberg, which is in like the north-ish suburbs.
Where are the midwives that they're gonna work in there?
That's a great question, Bibi. That's a great question.
No, because I'm only asking because most midwives that want to do home birth will probably not work with the system, which means that you'll get a lot of medwife, as Emily, the friend, will say, medwife doing the publicly fund home birth, which is
kind
of a scam then.
And my part of my concern is there's so much, like when you look at the documents, it's like documents long of exclusion criteria.
Oh my god. And it's gosh.
Like, so if somebody says, hey, I'd really like a home birth, and they're like, oh cool, it's free here, so I'll go there, and then they go and they're like, oh no, you can't do a home birth, then what do they do? Hopefully they're like, no, it must be possible. But how many women are going to be like, oh well, the hospital said that I wasn't suitable for a home birth and that I was too high risk for a home birth, and like how, like, yeah, I do have concerns.
So what happens here? We have one in Belmont, and what also happens in Western Australia, because I have a friend that she is like the manager there. What happens is when you are not suitable anymore for home birth, they give you a choice. So it's either you go back to mainstream.
Yeah.
That's it. Or you can stay with the midwife, but you're still birthing at the hospital. If that hospital has got the option of a birth center, if you are in the birth center criteria, you can birth in the birth center. Otherwise, it's at the hospital. And then that is discretion with the manager of the home birth to decide whether you're still going to have that midwife or you are just diverted to the system so that that midwife can actually take someone else for home birth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's just like I think the risk of you being like kicked out is higher than the risk of other things happening, you know?
It is actually. Yeah. It is, because if you get into kind of early, as you would do with your midwife, basically there is few things that you haven't done yet. So you haven't done your morphology scan.
Yeah.
You haven't done your, glucose test. And most home birth, they will require you to do it for them to take you on. Like, you cannot have an unknown glucose test. So you haven't done that. And then a lot of home births, some, they might require you, if the midwife does a measurement, like, you can't say no pretty much. And if the midwife does a measurement and that measurement is off by 2 centimeters, you will have to go and do a scan. If you say no, you will probably be kicked out. So it's kind of, yes, you can have a home birth, but at the same time, you also can't say no to the journey that will lead you to actually have a home birth with a publicly funded like system, I guess if you know that you have a pregnancy that is light, or a history or a pregnancy that is slightly out of the norm, you just have to consider other option, I would say, because every different kind of home birth publicly funded do work in a different way. For example, the one that we have here, I live 35 kilometers from them, and because of that, they can't come. So you need to be in 30K from the hospital where the home birth is actually based, And when I did contacted them, they're like, no, because you live in this suburb. And they're like, if you live in the next suburb, then it's fine. And I was like, what? And then they're like, the only way you could do it is change your residency, but you also have to birth at this person. And I'm like, what is all this nonsense, And then anyway, lucky enough, I was pregnant with twins. So nobody, not even the private midwife. Like, no, stay away. Like, oh my God. You're like, motherfucker, stay away.
Absolutely. I won't say which program, but one of the publicly funded program that's going to be starting, you're going to have to get into caseload first. So the pathway will be that you live in their catchment. Yeah. You go to the appointment. You ask if you can be put into caseload. And then the next appointment or whatever, you can ask for a home birth, but you won't be able to get into the home birth program until you've been accepted into caseload. And I've been told that caseload has a high, like the caseload is very popular.
So a lot of caseload. So I have been part of a caseload in Queensland, and because I set it up, I kind of made the rule, and we were taking everybody any risk. And when I was talking to a lot of different colleagues, when I was setting it up, I was just trying to see what other people they were doing. And when I was talking to other caseloads, they said, no, we don't take every risk. We only take low risk. So already to get into the caseload, you need to be low risk. There are like few things that you have to do. And like I say, like, if you are lucky enough, you say low risk and everything's going to be fine. But the only thing is that now, 2023, 2024, it's very difficult for a woman to say low risk because they will find something.
It'll be like, the temperature is 30 degrees today. So, sorry.
Yeah.
You won't be doing that. It's like some silly things. They will literally find anything.
So I guess wherever you are, if you're thinking about home birth, they're publicly funded with your taxes, because let's say that, you know.
Yes, yes.
We are still paying for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you decided to do that, like, my recommendation is really to ask, like, you know, what are the, like, how can I get into it? And what are the reason why you will get me out of it? You'll kick me out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, what they, yeah, like, what requirements they have to still abide by, even though it is in that home birth setting. You know, I asked, and they didn't, like, actually give me a full answer. So, but I asked, you know, will there be requirements for vaginal examinations as a part of your program at home birth? And they said, yes, there will be requirements, but they didn't tell me which requirements they will be. But it's, you really need to be careful.
And the reason why is because I was just talking to a friend of mine, you know, and I was saying how, you know, like, the caseload can burn us midwives. You know, because what happened with the caseload is you are on call for your women, but also for your colleagues, women, you know.
The
reason is because as a caseload midwife, the reason why you want to do a vaginal examination is because after 12 hours your time is up and you can't come back unless 10 hours has gone through. It's just a legal requirement in Australia if you are working in the hospital system, you know? And so what happened is, the reason why then they're like, well, you gotta do a vaginal examination, because if she is not in labor, you know, you could be staying there for 12 hours and then you have to leave. Like, you really have to leave. You have to give your phone in, and for 10 hours you are completely off.
And not just that,
you also have days off. So if you have 2 days off, those are your 2 days off. Your phone is off, and that's it.
But I'm really going back to, like, the podcast and advocacy. Like, I love hearing stories where people have overcome things like that, especially, you know, like, home birth after cesarean, or home birth after, like, really, really honestly complicated and complex things that might have happened in their first pregnancy, and they've still gone and had a home birth. Like, that is badass.
And that's the thing. Amazing. Like, it's important to understand that if you want to have a home birth, there is a way. I mean, it's still legal in Australia. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So until it's legal, you can have your home birth.
exactly. Yeah.
That's so good, though, all the work that you've been doing around advocacy and all of that, because as you know, we need that. We really, really need that. And I feel also like, every state, they do have, like, different little things, but I feel like overall in Australia there is still not enough knowledge amongst women of what are their options, but not just that, also how their option works, you know, because as we were saying even before, even when we are talking about private practice, you know, it's not all the same. Like, a private obstetrician is not the same as a private midwife.
Yeah.
But even with private midwives, and private midwife that has got hospital rights, it's pretty much similar to a hospital midwife, but just outside from the hospital, you know?
Yeah.
So there are, like, little kind of hiccups, you know, that the women just need to be aware of. And same with a home birth program. Yes, you can get in, but you could also be kicked out, you know?
Yeah. Like, and I think that's something that, I didn't understand the first or the second time around, especially because I thought, okay, well, I don't want to be connected with a midwife that has admitting rights, because now I know there's an obstetrician above. So I'm going to go somewhere else. Whereas actually what I should have done is I should have, like, had a midwife that was more, like, independent, you know, that's not part of a group, just her. And I just, if I could go back, that's probably what I would have chosen. But anyway, like, there's so many different options. It's not just home birth. Yeah, you know, I put up a poll in the Home Birth Australia group the other day and I said, how did you find out about home birth? And there's almost 200 responses. None of them are from the GP. And how many women go to the GP when they first find out they're pregnant? So, so many. So well, does
everybody.
That, like that's, everybody.
That's what we do, you know.
Everybody. And they're like the gatekeepers. Like they should, yeah. There's a, I feel like a rant for ages. I was so like, why is this not happening?
I know. I know.
It shouldn't just be by chance that you find out about home birth. So that's, you know, through the podcast and through this advocacy and stuff, I'm just trying to literally spread the word of home birth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And even, you know, for me, even being a midwife, like I never really kind of know how home birth really worked, you know, because I just worked at the system. And yeah, and even like when I was pregnant, the first thing that I did is I went to my GP anyway. You know what I mean? Like I did that. Like I knew I wanted to go to a private midwife, but still the first thing that I did was going to a GP, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And I think like, I guess there is a lot of work that we all have to do behind the scene, I guess, of kind of talking a little bit more in the community and with all the health professionals that they're out here, you know? And even for me, like, because I know, you know, like kind of branding marketing is where my genius is as well, you know? So I'm kind of working really hard on it. I've made like a whole, I don't know if you can see, but I made like a big banner.
And I saw you have the t-shirts now too.
I've got everything. I've got the t-shirt. I've got like, I've made also like little, they're like flyers, you know, that I can give to people. And I'm going to talk to a lot of GPs here in the area as well.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, well, it doesn't matter even if you say no. If I want, I can just, you know, put a chair out of your clinic and give it to every pregnant woman that I see.
Yeah,
like, you know what I
that's
mean?
So
it's
good.
Not illegal. I've... Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I have like stickers and stuff. And every time I'm driving, and you know how, you know, you stopped at lights and you see like stickers on the pole. I'm like, man, that'd be a good place to put a sticker. Or like I have thought, you know, like what if I just like lingered outside the Royal Women's Hospital and just was like, listen to this podcast? Like,
yeah, well, absolutely, you know? You can. Absolutely. And even like what I did is I made my like my visit thing. I don't know if I can show you one from here, but the way I made it is they have a QR code.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so even if you can do that, you just do them with a QR code and you just give them around. And now we used to like scan QR codes, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. People scan the QR codes and they go into the podcast. And it's just a matter of, I guess, like, it's just a matter of like, we've been all kind of segregated, like because of COVID, whatever. We've all been in our home. It's now time to like spread the voice and just let it out. And so that everybody actually knows, because again, if you speak to a lot of women, like pregnant women, especially with the first baby, no clue.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you, you know, like if you're not pregnant or you're not really
you're not like researching it.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to go anything about it, you know, unless you have the call to be like, oh, no, I want anything natural. I want this. I want that. But unless you have that, most women will just be like, okay, fine. GP, obstetrician.
Yeah, that's just how it is. Yeah.
You know, it's normal. Yeah.
Yeah. I love my shirts that I've made, but you know, to be like super, super honest, wearing it outside makes me a little bit like, what if somebody says something to me? Because like nobody has, but like I hope there would be like, you know, oh, what's home birth?
Yeah.
Instead of being, you know, because the only time other, you know, I'm wearing this around, like everybody's seeing it. And the only time that ever happens is if when you're watching the news and somebody's died from a home birth or something's gone wrong. So that's what most people associate it with, is like death. Home birth equals death, equals not safe. And I just, I want to break, like, so I'm just like, I'm wearing my shirt. I want to break like the stereotypes around home birth.
Yeah. That is so true. That is so true. Well, I think we are on the right journey to it. Yes. And even, you know, like when they ask me like, oh, are they twins? And I'm like, yes. And they were born at home.
without anybody there.
I know. It's like, oh, who cares? I'm just asking if they're twins. I'm like, I don't care. I would tell you anyway.
Yeah. Because most people probably are just like, oh, C-section, you know?
Yeah, but no. Exactly. And that's what most people are expecting me to say, you know, that they were born early, that I had a C-section, that I had trouble in breastfeeding.
Yeah.
Instead, I just go like, nah, it was all good. They were born after 38 weeks. They were fine. I breastfed. I just stopped to breastfeed one of the twins. She's almost two. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. But yeah, spreading the word.
Yeah, absolutely. So we will all come and follow you on your podcast, which is an amazing podcast. And as I said, storytelling is really the language that can arrive to any woman, really.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, make sure you listen and you follow for more. Do you want to add anything else?
No, just follow me at birthing@home_a podcast on Instagram, and you can see all of my stuff there as well.
Yes. Awesome.
Thanks so much, Bibi.
Yeah, thank you again for coming.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Hey, my friend, thank you so much for listening again. I think we are in for something really special in this podcast. Let's start this new movement. Hey, buckle up. There's a lot of new things and awesome things that you're gonna hear from me. And as you know, just do me a favor, please. Just take a screenshot, put it in your stories, and tag me. I promise I will definitely reshare you. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.